You can see what I've written up there in terms of a topic that I would like to speak on for just a little bit this morning, and that is wasted time and lost opportunities. I know that sometimes in some of the lessons that I've presented in the past that I've talked about lost opportunities, and I'm going to do that again a little bit this morning, but that's because it's such a very important topic to me. It's something that I battle with in my life, and I would venture to say that many here have done the same. So I'd like to talk about that for just a little bit this morning. And we'll take our lesson text from Galatians, the 6th chapter, and verse 10. Actually, I'd like to back up one verse and read verse 9 along with this. But beginning in verse 9 of Galatians, the 6th chapter, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." And then verse 10 goes on, and this is where we want to focus a little bit this morning. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." You know, as members of the Lord's church, we certainly want to set the right example and present the right picture. As people look at our lives, they should see a reflection of God. And we need not to be hypocrites. We are all guilty at one time or another in our lives of wasting time and letting opportunities slip past us. And this is one thing that I would think that as Christians we fear in death. We fear in not having taken advantage of the opportunities that are presented to us in life. Maybe we think to ourselves, I'm just not quite ready to meet my Maker yet. I, as many others, will have to admit that I love life and the companionship of my sweet wife for 25 years now, and my children, who will hopefully always have some kind of need for me, and vice versa. There have been times, however, when I would have been terribly ashamed to have to face my Savior. With a host of others, I would have feared being haunted with lost opportunities and time wasted and the times when I crossed to the other side of the road to avoid someone's call for help. Albert Barnes said about our lesson text this morning, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." He said, "This is the true rule about doing good. The opportunity to do good, says Cotton Mather, imposes the obligation to do it. The simple rule is that if we are favored with the opportunity and have the power to take advantage of it, then we are obligated to do so." J.W. McGarvey made comments on this same verse of Scripture, "And let us who are sowing in the latter manner not grow weary in good works, for in due season we shall reap," referring to verse 9. At this time, I'd like to turn to James, the 5th chapter, and we'll read verses 7 and 8. James, the 5th chapter, verses 7 and 8 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So we will also reap if we don't grow disheartened and quit and give up. And because we are then sure to reap, let us sow our harvest of good deeds as often as we have the opportunity to do so. And let us do good works towards all men, and especially to those of the household of faith. David Lipscomb also commented on this, and as I find that commentators sometimes are, his wording was a little bit difficult go through, so I went through several times, and if you will, I'll just kind of paraphrase part of what he had to say. He said, "We know that the nature of the seed sown and the ground in which it is sown is what determines the character of the harvest." So these seeds never sown can never be will never produce. And this present life offers the believer one due season or opportunity for sowing the seed. As the opportunity presents itself, we need to seize it, or it will simply become a missed opportunity. Now, some of you may have heard me compare missed opportunities to days that come and go and will never return again. There was someone that once said, or maybe this was in a song, I really don't recall, but the words said, "We shall never pass this way again." Now, I don't really know what that comment originally was in reference to, but lost opportunity seems to be a really good application of such a phrase as this. Let us work that which is good toward all men. As the occasions to do good come before the believer, he should be ready to take advantage of them. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus teaches that the people that we come in contact with that are in need, those people are our neighbors. In perfect harmony with Paul, with this, Paul gives this instruction: give counsel, sympathy, help to whatever is needed. Jesus went about doing good. As his servants, we have to follow his example, and especially toward them that are of the household of faith. The believer is a debtor to all men to do them good by word and by deed. But in Christ, he is brought into a new relationship with those who hold the same faith and share the same salvation and who owe allegiance to the same Lord. To these, his obligation is emphasized. He is not at all relieved of his obligation to do good to all men, but especially to those that are his brethren in Christ. There is a door that gets open to us in terms of opportunities, and these doors are open to us every day. Paul talked about this himself in terms of an opportunity that he had to preach God's word. And he wrote, "A great door and effectual is opened unto me." The New King James Version actually puts that, "a great and effective door." So the Apostle Paul wrote of his efforts to teach and preach the gospel in Ephesus. We too have a great door open to us. Every day, opportunities come our way to say a word in behalf of the saving power of God. If we really believe that Christ is the Savior of the world, then our actions ought to reflect that. And we ought to be sharing that as we have the opportunity to do so. Eternal salvation is the incomparable gift of faithful obedience. One of the acts of obedience is to spread abroad by word and manner of life the gospel of Christ. What we think, what we say, what we do, all determine who we will be and who we are. And we need to remember who we are. May we take advantage of the great and effective door that has been opened to us. You know, I couldn't pass this portion of the lesson without mentioning the fact that sometimes we pass up these opportunities, and we do so purposely. And it's because we're afraid. Maybe it's because we're afraid. Maybe it's because we're afraid that we don't know the scriptures as well as we ought to. Someone might ask us a question that we don't have the answer to right away. Well, I want to encourage each and every one of us that is an awesome opportunity for us. Certainly, we need to be prepared to give an answer for what it is that we believe. But don't take advantage of an opportunity because of a fear that maybe we don't know the answer to something that's asked. And the reason I say that is it gives us a great opportunity to study the Word of God with them. I understand that Babe Ruth was the home run king. He also had the record in strikeouts. An Olympic gold medalist doesn't start out the gold medalist. He probably loses a few races along the way. So we have to start somewhere and take advantages of the opportunities that we have, because if you don't, you may be haunted in eternity as to what the outcome might have been. Someone once said the prayer, "Our dear Heavenly Father, all glory and power, giver of life and opportunity, help us to make use of our time in thy service and to value the fleeting hours for which I will render an account to thee. Help us in our effort to overcome idleness and apply ourselves wholeheartedly to thy work, ever redeeming the time, both for our own benefit and for the good of others." You know, there are scriptures that talk about us redeeming the time. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Colossians 4, and verse 5. Paul was unwilling and reluctant to leave Ephesus because of a great door that had been opened unto him. He says, "A great and effectual is opened unto me," or a great and effective door. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, new every morning to all Christians are opportunities to be a leavening influence for Jesus amongst those people that we come in daily contact with. They keep our eyes open to be ready to every good work, according to Titus 3 and verse 1. Today, there are perhaps more avenues, more ways, more doors for followers of Christ than ever before. The conditions have changed in terms of travel, means of teaching, the media through which we do that, whether it be the internet or TV or radio, and opportunities, the freedom of speech that we have in this country and maybe is not as prevalent in other parts of the world, but there are such great opportunities that we have, and maybe more that lie ahead. But never let us forget the adversaries that are present, both from within and from without. These are very real, and they have to be met. And the way that we meet them is by knowing the Word of God and preaching the Word of God. The preaching of our own opinions and the opinions of others isn't going to do anyone any good unless it reflects the Word of God. In fact, to preach something else will lead to our destruction and the destruction of those that would listen to us. We need to be laboring in harmony with the Word of God. We can't overemphasize the necessity to be careful in teaching and practicing only that which God has authorized in His Word, but let us never use this carefulness as an excuse to do nothing and sit idly by while others make all the mistakes. Since God has thoroughly furnished the man of God unto all good works, according to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17, there's no excuse for idleness. Again, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 3, we read that God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. His word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Our guide is so complete that anything that it does not furnish does not pertain to life and godliness. The wide open doors of opportunity are certainly open to us today. We should ever enter into these doors without delay, certainly with caution, as we compare the world around us to the Word of God. But as we enter into them, we have to be sure that we do all things according to God's will. Otherwise, we might find ourselves in the same condemnation as the scribes and the Pharisees who compass the sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he has made that proselyte, he made him twofold more the child of hell than himself, according to Matthew 23 and verse 15. You know, there was a song that was one time written that I think is really pertinent to what to our topic this morning. Taking advantage of talking to others and those that we come in contact with. And some of you may remember James Rowe. He wrote a song that was entitled, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." I think that's so appropriate. The words of the song said, "When in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls may be, if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. Oh, let us spread the word where'er it may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see, that yonder none may say, you showed me not the way, you never mentioned him to me. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad sighs on his eyes on Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mentioned him to me." And then the chorus of the song says, "You never mentioned him to me, you helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day, and when I was astray, you never mentioned him to me." You know, that should be an encouragement to us. And if we're attempting to do those things which are right, and if not, it will echo in eternity to us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9th chapter and verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." This is pretty much true of most anything that we do in life. We get out of anything just about what we put into it. We put a lot of effort into a project maybe that we're working on at work, and because of our efforts, it turns out a little better than what it might have otherwise. We practice something over and over until we excel at it. My children are involved in speech and debate, and by the time that they start competing in those kinds of things, they have rehearsed it so many times most anybody in the house could. So we practice things until we excel at them. We put an effort into those things, and we put ourselves... Something that echoes in my mind is something my parents used to tell me, is anything worth doing is worth doing well. So you put yourself completely into that. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate on time spent trying to teach God's word and take care of the poor saints, edify the congregation, and the many other good things that Christians do, and maybe only Christians do? Albert Barnes says in his commentary on 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, "If you show mercy to the poor, God will show mercy to you. In our lives, let us be about the Lord's business. Wasted time and lost opportunities will become less and less a part of our lives." I'd like to talk about one more area that we sometimes neglect. It's kind of supposed to be a little bit of a pun, in the sense that I want to talk about sins of omission. You know, it definitely falls into the area that we speak of in terms of our wasted time and our lost opportunities. James, the 4th chapter in verse 17, says, "To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Sometimes we neglect to pray and be as prayerful as we ought to be. Find scriptures regarding this, and probably many, many more than Matthew, the 21st chapter and verse 22, and 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. I hope that Christians never waste enough of their time and forget about who they are enough that they become indifferent. Webster defines indifference as a lack of feeling for anything. And indifference virtually would say that we don't know if men are lost or not, but we really don't care. What a sad condition for anyone to be in. So we don't ever want to get there or neglect or omit those things that are loftier, those things that are spiritual. And we need to spend time thinking on those things. Here's some other things that we might think of in terms of omission. A lot of times when we think about right and wrong, we think about things that we do rather than in terms of things that we don't do. I've heard people say, if we're not growing, then we're dying in our spiritual lives. Well, we don't need to neglect self-improvement projects. We don't need to doubt our ability to the point that we begin hesitating in taking advantage of opportunities that we have and so forth. Waiting on someone else to do it. Failure to care about the welfare of others. Self-indulgence. Too busy. If we're too busy, the question is, doing what? And I think we've all kind of fallen into that at times. Priorities get mixed up. Sometimes we fall into a rut and maybe get a bad attitude. And we fail to practice hospitality in the way that we ought. We fail to budget our time with the appropriate priorities. We fail to set goals in our spiritual lives. And you know, when we do all of these kinds of things, we end up blaming others for our own mistakes. We fail to make ourselves available to others as we maybe ought to be. And unfortunately, we become hypocrites in our lives and we reflect the wrong thing when people look at our lives. We don't need to feel sorry for ourselves. We get overburdened sometimes, overworked, and others expect too much of you, and no one pays any attention to me, and you know what? So-and-so even forgot my birthday. You know, life is not all about us. You usually get out of things what we put into it. Very best advice that I guess I could say, and hopefully this is not oversimplified, but this is what it comes down to. Be about the Lord's business today, every day, continually, and it'll be less and less easy. The wording's not just right. To fall into areas of omitting things that we need to do. We need to be continually busy in the work of the Lord. And there are things that we won't be able to do that we wish that we could. But hopefully in the day of judgment, we won't be guilty of not taking advantage of opportunities and omitting those things that we should have done, could have done, had time to do.